Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Dr. Adam Sonnabend from Northwestern is joining us right now, and he is assistant professor of neurological surgery at Northwestern. And the news today that Senator John McCain is suspending treatment for brain cancer. And this isn't this type of cancer that he has starts in the brain, right? This is a specific cancer. Some brain cancers come from other parts of the body, metastasize to the brain. This is one that actually starts there, right?
Yes, that's correct. This is the most common kind of cancer that starts in the brain in adults.
It's very aggressive, is the way the family described it. Is that how you would look at this medically? They said he's outlasted what they had expected that he'd live.
Yeah, so it is a very aggressive cancer, unfortunately. You know, within this cancer, there's different versions of it, and every individual might have slightly different performance. Some of the main things that determine how long people will live depend on the age, the molecular makeup of the tumor, where it's located, and the treatments that they get.
Mm-hmm. So originally when they went in, they thought it was pooled blood that they were going for. Is that typical of when you're going in to find something that you've only seen radiologically, are you kind of thinking in the back of your head that, you know, this could be this as well? And was that a surprise to them when they found this as a tumor, do you think?
Well, so I will admit I was not there, and I have no personal information about this case. But in general, glioblastomas are tumors that can bleed, mm-hmm. can present in that setting. There's also tumors that can often cause blood clots elsewhere in the body. And I think this is how this was diagnosed, if I'm understand it correctly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There are philosophical reasons why families would just make this decision to not move forward. And I would imagine that's a family's decision to say, hey, we're going to end the treatment now at this point. But typically, what would a patient be looking at when it really would be appropriate for a family to make that decision?
Yeah, so it's very important as physicians never to make a judgment on what's appropriate or not, right? Every individual is a human being, and it's very important to really consider patients' wishes, and often, more often than not, when you diagnose somebody, they're still with it, and they can think about this, and this is the time to sit down with the family mm-hmm. and establish clear directives that are derived from the patient. Now, when do people stop treatment? It's a very personal decision. I think as long as people have quality of life and there is a particular treatment that might be effective, it's totally legitimate to pursue that. But on the other hand, if somebody's lived a long life, they're satisfied with it, and their quality of life suddenly is no longer making much sense, mm-hmm. aggressive treatments might not be the best. Now, stopping treatment, it's a way to think about this. There's treatments that are focused on comfort, getting the patient as comfortable as possible, versus treatments that are focused on prolonging somebody's survival. So I don't know if they're stopping treatment. I don't know anything about the case versus just not really focusing on prolonging survival versus getting him comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right. It sounds like it's the latter there, based on the way that the family is talking about this on social media and in this press release that was let a little earlier today.
Right.
And that they're basically treating this as sort of a last statement from the family prior to his death. And so I'm assuming, based on that tone, that mm-hmm. it's probably palliative care, right, as that's what they call that when you're just trying to make somebody comfortable at the end.
Correct.
And in a moment, it's almost impossible, because I know a lot of people are trying to play a guessing game here about you know, well, how long will this be? I know that in our business, as yeah. ghoulish as it is, they set up, you know, they're trying to figure out how they're going to move assets around to cover this story, and there's really no way to truly know here, right? I mean, there's, because patients, it's all, and he's known for his tenacity, he's known for his toughness, he's already outlived yeah. this diagnosis. I guess for all of us who, you know, care about him and care about humanity, you just want to be comfortable.
Correct. I will stress that I'm a neurosurgeon. I take care of these kinds of patients up front, and I often get the question of how long do I have to live. I really don't believe in telling people this. It's not the right approach. Unfortunately, this is not necessarily a curative disease, a disease you can cure, but different people live for different lengths, and we as doctors have no crystal ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you tell somebody how long they're going to live, that's based on an average, and everybody is an outlier when it comes to these. And it's very important to never kill somebody's hope.
Yeah. But at his age, 81, would that be a major factor here in terms of some kind of experimental treatment or being having some options that you might not otherwise, you might otherwise consider if you weren't at an advanced age?
Yeah, you know, this is a very important point. We are very invested in developing new treatments, which are experimental at this stage. Some of these are very promising. Some of them involve treating patients during the operation, delivering specific drugs or viruses into their brains. And some of these might offer a lot of hope. They're just experimental. We don't really know how they will impact survival. For these diseases, I encourage every patient to try to find a trial, a study where they can actually investigate whether this is going to help them for two reasons. One is because different people might respond differently. What we know about these tumors is based on the conventional treatments, not the new treatments. And the other thing, this is...
And the one thing, pardon me for interrupting, doctor, but the one thing that we know for sure also is that the conventional treatment is just basically... it doesn't cure the disease, right? There is no cure at the moment, and that's why these trials are important to see if they can find, unlock that key.
That is correct. I will start by saying the standard of care for these patients involves surgery, radiation, drug called temozolomide, and very recently the development of something called tumor treating fields, where you put electrical fields to destabilize this tumor cell growth. All these treatments are very important because they do maintain the quality of life and make people live longer as a whole. Unfortunately, so far, they haven't really cured anybody. Now, there are people who are outliers and survive for a long time.
Let's talk about that virus that you're talking about. There is a lot of science now developing, and this is all, much of it is coming out of this decade alone, right, in terms of treating, you know, using other pathogens or things we would think about as you know, bad things to try to go treat these because they can attack those cells in a specific way, right?
Yeah, this is very exciting, in fact. And some of these studies are actually first done in humans at our institution. We're very, very excited.
At Northwestern?
Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. There's, in particular, I'll tell you, there's several trials that are using different kinds of viruses. And these viruses were commonly found in nature, but they have been engineered to only replicate and kill tumor cells, but spare the rest of the brain.
Wow.
And what's even, for instance, very interesting is there's the use of stem cells to carry these viruses to find the tumor cells within the brain. There's several things that are being tested are very interesting, very promising.
Wow.
We don't know whether they're going to work to prolong survival. These are the studies we're currently doing.
How do people, if they have if someone listening right now has a loved one dealing with cancer, aggressive or not, how would they find out about these sorts of trials that you're talking about? Is there a go-to resource that you could suggest?
Well, so it's very important for patients to always be connected with an academic center and where people are essentially aware of these things. Clinical trials are tricky in the sense that every trial has very specific patients they're looking for, and not every patient will qualify. They also have limited space. It's very important to always be at a place where there's several of these connected and institutions talk to each other. We get patients from elsewhere because they have a good patient who will qualify for one of these studies and whatnot. So it's very important to be connected with academic institutions, particularly with a diagnosis of cancer.
Yeah, yeah. And we're very lucky to have Northwestern here.
Yeah, we are.
No question about that.
We are.
Doctor, thank you very much. We really appreciate your time. I know this is it's a difficult subject. I know it's what you do every day, and thank you for doing what you do because, you know, we thank ourselves a lot in our business for things, and all we're here is making people either mad or laugh, and you're actually saving lives. So thank you so much for doing that. Dr. Adam Sadaband from Northwestern University right now. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour?